Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The 2020 election is over. Well, almost. Those live and in living color civics lessons we've been getting this year are still in play. The next big one will actually happen in Georgia when four U.S. Senate candidates will face off in a runoff election on January 5th. So why should those of us living here or anywhere other than there care? We're going to break it all down to you. My guest tonight is Aisha McClendon. She is the National Outreach Director of Vote America. And we're going to talk about some of the other election 2020 issues still happening around the nation. Join the conversation. I want to hear from you tonight. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Aisha, thanks for joining the conversation.
Hello. It's so good to be here today, Harold.
Thank you so much. Let's get right into this. Before we even talk about the names, why should we care about Georgia?
Well, there's many reasons to care about Georgia, and I'm a Texan, and I care about Georgia. when you look at it, these two seats could definitely define what happens in our Senate this upcoming cycle. So, you know, if we get both seats, it will be 51-49, or if we get, it'll be 50-50, and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris would be the tiebreaker, which is huge, which is a big deal, which is one reason why people should really be watching what's going on in Georgia right now.
There's been so much discussion about what is happening in Georgia, and I'm sure the news coverage is going to ramp up over the next several weeks. So let's kind of run down what we're looking at. We're looking at the Republican incumbents. We have Senator David Perdue, we have Senator Kelly Loeffler, and we have the Democrats, John Ossoff, and the Reverend Raphael Warnock. Of course, he is the current pastor of the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, the same church that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. pastored during his civil rights time. So let's kind of break this down. We're talking about two completely different points of view here with David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. And kind of talk to me about who we're dealing with right now. What will the voters be looking at?
Well, let me just start by saying that Vote America is a nonpartisan organization.
Sure.
And we, you know, definitely, our goal is to get voters to turn out. And so I will say to people, if you look at what's going on and if you look at how things are going and if you're okay with how things are going in Georgia and in the Senate, then you should vote for the candidates that are currently holding those seats. But I do believe that some people have some questions and some people would like to see a little bit more representation of people who look like them. And so when you look at those things and you look at the opportunity to elect someone else, then you should maybe consider voting for the other candidates that are running who were not already sitting in those seats.
Well, President Trump certainly has a lot of questions about what's happening in Georgia.
He does.
Yeah.
He does have a lot of questions. All eyes are on Georgia right now, especially as we know that Biden is going to be the next president of the United States. I think that this would be his kind of swan song to try and figure out, to try and get these seats for his party. And he's going to do everything that he possibly can do to get these seats confirmed, and I think that it's going to be an interesting race in January.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Georgia Senate race and some of the other issues that are still hanging on in election 2020. If you have a comment, if you have a question, certainly give us a call at 202 202- 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. By the way, if you happen to live in Georgia, I would love to hear your thoughts about what is happening there. So, you know, one of the things that we've seen the president do, he has raised a lot of questions about the validity of the Georgia election count. There was a recount, you know, mm-hmm. of the votes. Nothing much changed. But I think one of the issues that is raising a lot of questions, particularly from the position of Republicans, is that there seems to be a move to question the validity of the vote going forward in January. Couldn't that very well hurt the GOP and prevent them from getting what they hope will be a majority in the Senate?
I do. I personally do think that it could hurt. I think that putting this little bug in people's ear that there could be an issue could actually stop some people on their side from coming out to vote. And I think that that's being done. I don't think that he realizes really that could actually be counterproductive to what he wants. And so we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Georgia U.S. Senate runoff coming up in January, its broader implications, as well as some of the other things that are happening right now with election 2020. Let's go to Catherine, calling from Washington, D.C. Catherine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So, hi, good evening.
Hi.
So here's a comment that I have. It's with regards to what's just happened. I think when the new administration come into office, they should get legal scholars to write new laws, because certain things in America are norms, they're not laws. For example, you lose an election, you concede. That's a norm, it's not a law. Right.
Correct.
And so therefore, we've learned with this current situation that we're dealing with that not everybody has decency in them. So they don't follow the norm. And things that should be law going forward should be things like we get to see your health result, we get to see your tax result, tax return. Those are norms, they're not laws. Those are things that need to be written into law. Because when you apply for other jobs, there are prerequisites. Just because you're an American doesn't mean you automatically qualify for the highest job in office, as we can tell. He's allowed us to see everything that is wrong with the Constitution that was written over 400 years ago. And I personally think that it should be amended, rewritten, so that this never happened ever again in anybody's lifetime.
A couple of things. Our Constitution actually was written about 230 some odd years ago, something
right.
like that. So,
yeah.
But I'll excuse you because you don't sound like you're from.
I'm your red Brit. So, excuse me, but as a foreigner that's resided here 12 years. There's so many things that I've seen, especially with this administration, that just doesn't make sense, and it should never have to happen going forward. You know, one thing that I think should be eliminated is the collegial. People can make informed decisions for themselves now. Nobody owns land. We're not buying land. So we don't need a group of people to make a decision on our behalf when we can do that ourselves. There are lots of landed people now in America, and so they can make those decisions themselves. Why do you need the collegial?
Interesting point. Your thoughts about what she's sharing with us, Aisha?
You know, I don't even know if you are aware of this, Harold. So I actually worked in the Clinton administration, and when it comes to people's health records and things like that, I actually think that should not be a law. Personally, I don't think that it is always completely our right to know everything that is going on with someone personally, I do think that that is something that should be up to them to share. And we hope that we won't have that issue again, right? With another election, we both of the candidates will hopefully give up the information that is pertinent to their job, just on their own without it having to be law. But I do understand where you're coming from, but I do think that this election, the last election, really just kind of put us on our head. We weren't expecting a lot of things. I think a lot of us weren't even expecting him to win. And so it just took us by surprise. But I definitely think there are some things that we should take into consideration. But, you know, him not conceding by law, it really doesn't matter because he's not going to be able to stay after the 20th anyway. So, but I totally get where you're coming from. And I wish that some things had been a little bit more done with a little bit more ease by Trump.
Catherine, real quick, where are you from?
I'm from the UK. I'm from London originally.
Okay, well, 12 years, but we'll still say welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
You get to stay.
According to the new administration, I will, yes.
Catherine, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Georgia U.S. Senate runoff coming up in January, its broader implications, as well as some of the other issues that are still hanging on as relates to election 2020. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Reggie, calling from Richmond, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, first of all, great job as always. What disturbs me is some of the attacks that a lot of workers have been going through, such as one individual's attack, saying that if he didn't do a better job, they were going to hang him. And also the other discussing people getting threatened with their lives. And also what's going on with the tax where if you don't have a car, they're trying to purge voters off the list right now.
Now, where did you hear that second piece about? I'm not familiar with that.
It was on Roland Martin, his YouTube page.
And this was this in Georgia or specifically
yes,
where?
It was in Georgia.
Okay. Reggie, thank you so much. And first of all, before we even get into that issue, I want to share a little bit of what Reggie is talking about. It's ironic that he brought this up.
A 20-something tech in Gwinnett County has death threats and a noose put out saying he should be hung for treason because he was transferring a report on batches from an EMS to a county computer so he could read it. Mr. President, you have not condemned these actions or this language. This has to stop. We need you to step up, and if you're going to take a position of leadership, show some.
That was Gabriel Sterling. He is a Georgia elections official, and he is talking about some of the threats that the staff, have received over the course of the audit and the recount in Georgia, which continued to come out with results that said that Joe Biden would indeed win Georgia. And I think when you talk about voter suppression, getting out the vote, Aisha, what does that do for voters who are still looking to cast their ballots in January?
It makes them nervous. I mean, it's just, voter suppression doesn't always look the way that it looked for my parents or even my grandparents. You know, this is a little bit new, right? And he needs to step up. Trump should have stepped up and said something. And I think that it's just another excuse for people not to go vote. People, voting is not always that easy for everyone. You have to figure out how you're going to get there. You need to know where you're going to go, where you need to go. You need to make sure you have the correct ID. So any little thing could be a reason why somebody would stop voting. And actually being scared is a big issue. And I think it's just another tactic to use to get people to stop and kind of think about if they're going to go vote or not.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the issue that Reggie brought up regarding car registration in Georgia?
I am not, but I do want him to know that they, in every state, there's always a point where rolls are purged, which is why we always tell people to check their registration, not just once, twice, three or four times, because you never know if for some reason, maybe there was a bad address put in for you, that you should always check your voter registration. But I'm not aware of the fact that they were purging the rolls because of people not having voter registration cards.
Mm-hmm. Reggie, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Georgia U.S. Senate raid, its broader implications, as well as other election 2020 issues. Linda in Fairfax, we're going to talk to you. Please don't hang up. You're going to be next. I need to take a very quick break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What is your biggest concern as we move through this election 2020 process? Do you realize just how important this Georgia U.S. Senate runoff is? We're going to talk about all of that, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about the Georgia U.S. Senate runoff election and the impact it could have on the nation, as well as some of the broader election 2020 issues that are still hanging on, like those hanging chads of 2000.
They don't know about that. They don't remember. Nobody. They don't remember that.
But you know what? I would argue that everybody is getting some serious history and civics lessons in 2020. Let me tell you, if nothing else, people have learned more about the voting process.
Sure.
And politics in this year more than any other year. That's just how I feel about it. Of course, that is Aisha McClendon. She is the National Outreach Director of Vote America. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Linda calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. The reason why that these Georgia Senate races are so important is because since Kentucky couldn't make the decision, this is our last chance to get rid of Mitch McConnell as the Senate Majority Leader. And if Georgia votes Democratic, then it will be a lot easier for the new administration to get things done, because if Georgia does not go Democratic, then it's almost like a repeat of President Obama's years, where he tried, but he could only get so much done because he was fighting up against the Senate. But if Georgia goes blue, this really affects the rest of America. This is our last chance to get Mitch McConnell fired, the Senate Majority Leader. So that's why I feel it's so important to America.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, Linda. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Armonte calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I have a couple of notes. As a pastor, looking at this race in Georgia, I think it's kind of rare that the Republicans and Democrats are searching for new voters, because it's kind of rare that the runoff elections generate around this time a lot of new type of people, especially people my age, and I'm only 20. And I believe that our vote was kind of at a battle based off of what we had to do. And a lot of older and elders taught us that we had to vote because our voices matter. But I think now our vote is in question by who we are as a person and our character and what we do, you know, on a daily basis.
What do you mean by that? When you say, I mean, what does that mean to you when you say the vote is in question?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What did you mean by that last statement? You said our vote is in question?
I believe that the young vote is in question because a lot of people who are voting now are of the younger generation. Because I believe that when Trump was elected president, it was like, oh, my God, I wish we could have voted. But now that we have the power to vote in this season, a lot of, you know, Trump turnout and a lot of the senator turnouts are more Democrat than Republican because of how the world and society and how we're living is coming to a very hard place in our lives based off of who we are and what we do.
Okay. Your thoughts about what she's sharing with us, Aisha? Aisha, did you hear me?
Yes, yeah. I think that is an amazingly interesting perspective. And I will say that we did have a high turnout in, you know, 20 to 35-year-olds for many reasons. I think, you know, we personally at Vote America, we purposely worked to get people to vote and to get them registered and to get them out to vote because we just know how important it is. But I do think that I'm not sure if your vote is in question, but it's so important. I will say that it is extremely important to get 18 to 30-year-olds to go vote because we know that if we create a habit and people vote, you know, 2 to 3 times, they are more likely to be lifetime voters, which is why we pay so much attention to getting that age group out to vote. But I'm not quite sure about it being is in question, but I personally think that it's amazing that we had such great turnout in that age group this cycle.
Go ahead, Armonte.
I would say that most black, the Georgia is mostly a 50-50 predominantly black, white, and mixed nationalities, but it amazes me how Joe Biden has the support from a lot of black Democrats or a lot of young Democrats, especially of the black African-American society, who want to see change. But the change can only be made possible if it is a Democrat-led House and Senate. And we're at a stalemate right now because with what Trump is doing with the recount and how the Senate polls are going, it's funny because more than 850,000 votes are compared to Joe Biden, and he's a Democrat. And most of them are absentee ballots. I voted absentee, and I was afraid that my vote wasn't going to get counted. And I think that's what a lot of people my age are afraid of, that because we vote, a lot of our votes are not going to be counted. But I'm pretty assured that my vote has been counted.
So before I let you go, Armonte, I think you make a really excellent point. And Aisha, you know, please talk about the absentee ballot vote, because it honestly, up until now, it has been such a common practice.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, we believe that every vote should count. And I think that it's so important that that people don't feel like what you just said, that you voted absentee so it didn't count, which was one of the reasons why we really push for people not to announce winners until every single vote has been counted. Most countries don't know the same night of an election who's won, and we need to get out of that habit because that's what creates that. If we think that we have to be quick and answer questions and get that information out immediately, we're not going to be able to count all of the ballots because in some states, they don't start counting absentee ballots until the day of the election. So that's something that we should definitely look into. I will say that because of the number of people who voted, because of many different factors, COVID, all of those things, your vote did count. They did count every last one, and in some states they went back and counted twice. So I really hope that you don't feel that way, and I hope that you go, you know, in every election, not just a presidential, that you understand that your vote is so important, and maybe even a little bit more important in non-presidential years. when you're voting for things at the statewide level. But, you know, that is something that we definitely need to look into. We shouldn't be announcing a winner 5 minutes after the polls close.
You're definitely correct. You're definitely correct.
We should not be doing that. There's no way for us to know to promise that everybody's vote has been counted. So to me, that is something that we need to be looking into, and we need to stop that habit, stop that practice. Oh, the first news station to announce gets the prize. No, because at some point that means that somebody is not, you know, not being able to be counted. So I definitely think that's something we should look into as we look into reforms in the next few years.
Armonte, thank you so much. I appreciate.
Can I give my church shout out if you don't mind? I don't know if that's
No, unfortunately, we don't do shout outs on this show. Unless it's in Georgia and you're trying to get them to vote, we're not. thank you so much, nevertheless. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202, that tickled me. 202-319-7810. Sandra, calling from Georgia, you heard my prayer.
Hey.
Thank you so very much. What's on your mind?
Yes, I think Donald Trump is a...
Whoa, come on now. Let's be respectful. I'm going to give you one more chance to make your point without the colorful metaphors. Can you do that for me?
He set us up for what he's doing.
Say again?
He set us up for what he's doing.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Because he said he wasn't getting out.
Ah, okay. So the thing that I'm interested in hearing, Sandra, as it relates to what's happening in Georgia, is from your perspective, do you think that there's going to be a high voter turnout next month for the Senate runoff?
Yes, I do.
Why? What's the scuttlebutt? What are they talking about there in Georgia as it relates to...
Because they're trying to get... put in the House.
I beg your pardon?
The Democrats are trying to get the put in the House.
Okay. Well, look, Sandra, I hope that you get out to the polls and certainly be safe. Thank you so much for your phone call. Obviously not the best representative from the great state of Georgia, but, you know, she is certainly passionate. And we hope that a lot of that passion continues to carry itself to the polls coming this January. So here's my question, Aisha, and I think this is one of the really critical ones. This is a hypothetical.
Sure.
If the Democrats win both Georgia U.S. Senate seats and we have that 50-50 split, mm-hmm. what happens to the leadership of the Senate?
Well, the leadership would change, and not only would the leadership change, we would probably be getting a Democrat in leadership, but we also would, it would put Harris, Vice President-elect Harris, in a better position, and she would be making more historic votes if she was allowed that opportunity. So that's one of the huge things that could happen if we were to get both of those two Senate seats.
But it would be 50-50. So, you know, right now the Senate is the leadership mm-hmm. is the majority, Mitch
Correct.
McConnell and the like, because there are more
Republicans.
Right, exactly. But at 50-50, is that because the vice president's party would then be considered the majority?
It's funny you asked that question. It would be up. I mean, there's no way to say that the leadership would completely be taken on by a Democrat. We can't say that. It would have to be somebody would have to essentially defect from one of the parties. But the understanding is that in the event we would have, the Democrats would have the leadership.
Yeah, that's a very, very complicated thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, and I think, you know, before this conversation is over, I want to try to, you know, drill down a little bit more about that. So,
and I did want to say, Harold, sure. You know, you were talking about Georgia and their turnout. And I do want you to know that we know that there's been probably about 963,000 ballots that have already been requested for the election in January, which is historic. And so, you know, I agree with our caller from Georgia. I do think that they're going to have high turnout. It's just at this point making people feel comfortable because COVID will still be in play and figure out ways to get people to the polls and get their ballots in.
Mm-hmm. And here's something else as it relates to getting the vote out. And we've heard a lot of talk about this, and I'm really interested in hearing your point as well. Stacey Abrams, who has really, as they say, you know, shown up and shown out.
When it comes to getting
the vote out in Georgia prior to November. And she has really become a major power player, even though she lost the race for governor. What impact do you believe her organization and her specifically, what impact she may have on this race coming up in January?
I think she has a huge impact on this race. I think that she started the moment that she lost, to be honest with you. Talk about taking a defeat and turning it around. You know, it's a great example of her really caring about her state and making sure that people weren't just registered, but they were educated. I think that she partners with amazing organizations from all over the country that came in and helped as well in Georgia. I think that we would be crazy to think that she's not working, you know, 25 hours a day to make sure that African Americans and everyone is getting out to vote, because she knows how important this is, especially not just for the state, not for the country, but what is it going to look like for Georgia in their upcoming elections? Because they do have elections in 2 years for their governor's seat. So, you know, I think that she's done an amazing job with her two organizations. There's other organizations doing work down there. The Black Male Voter Project, Amplify, they are doing amazing work around getting African-American men to go vote, which is a demographic that gets overlooked a lot. And I know that they have partnered with her as well. So there's a ton of people down there. I think Stacey Abrams is amazing. And every state needs a Stacey Abrams, because we all have those goals. And we all need to work at registering more people every single day, and not just in election cycles. She wasn't just doing this because of the presidential election. She knows how important it is to keep doing it every single day.
And to that point, because there were so many questions about the purging of voter rolls when she was running for governor. And this goes back to an issue that the gentleman, I think, from Richmond mentioned. And I think you made such an important point about constantly, every election cycle, you need to make sure that you're registered.
You always should make sure you're registered. And let's be honest, don't just make sure you're registered, make sure your kids are registered, especially if they are college age, make sure they are registered where they are. Make sure that your neighbors, everyone in your home is registered. I also think it's really important. You know, we just had an election, right? You should be checking in March, April. Make sure that you are still on the roll. Because that's really important.
And, you know, to this point, and I say this on this program all the time, since graduating, you know, from college, I've lived in 7 cities. And one of the things, being a, you know, a native Washingtonian and being raised in, you know, in this area, voting, you know, for me, it was a family issue.
Yes.
Everybody in the family voted. And I pretended to vote when I wasn't old enough to vote. But the thing that was most important was that every city that I moved, every state that I moved to, I did 3 things as soon as I got there. I looked for a place to live, I looked for a church, And then I went to
register to vote.
And I think the other thing is understanding the rules, because they change state to state. And that's one of the, that's, you know, this is your wheelhouse, because we've heard so much after November 3rd, when the president was talking about this huge conspiracy and everything else. Every state has different rules.
They all have different rules, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we created a helpline, is if at some point you have a question, we have people that are always on the line. You can text helpline to 48298 to get questions. Because another thing to think about is, because of COVID, a lot of first-time voters would have been voting on their, like, I went to Dillard in New Orleans. I voted with my classmates. I could ask them questions. What did you do? Where do we go? We're going to all go together, and we're going to all walk to go vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't happen because of COVID. So a lot of people registered, and then they got sent home.
What do you?
And so they didn't realize that they had to. So if I was going to school in New Orleans, and I got sent home to Texas, and I didn't really think about it, I might miss the voter registration deadline in Texas, because for whatever reason, our country doesn't have the same deadlines across the country, which is insane to me, why every state doesn't have, like, there's not one deadline. We know what day our taxes are due. Why don't we know what day we have to register by across the country?
And, you know,
it doesn't make sense.
And certainly everyone has you know, the right to vote however they want. You know, and this is a prime example. So if you went to school in Louisiana, if you wanted to vote absentee in Texas, because okay, you know, you can do that. My choice was that I've voted and I started this in college, because even though my at 18, I was in college in Baltimore. And so I was registered. I was still registered in Maryland, but I wanted to vote in not only, you know, the state election, but I also wanted to vote in the city where I was living. So I never did absentee.
Right.
I always voted when I lived in Baltimore. I voted in Baltimore. I still live in Baltimore now, having come back home. So I voted in Baltimore. When I lived in Florida, in Tallahassee, I voted there. When I lived in Huntsville, Alabama, I voted there. I never did absentee anywhere because I wanted to make sure that my vote impacted
where you were,
where I lived. And as I mentioned, I found the answer. This information coming from bipartisanpolicy.org, so another bipartisan organization. The most recent 50-50 Senate was in 2000, after the 2000 election. And the Senator Tom Daschle, who was the Democrat from South Dakota, and Trent Lott, who was the Republican from Mississippi, they came up with a power-sharing agreement, as it says here, to guide the chamber. However, the majority leader was Trent Lott because the Vice President, Dick Cheney, was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could very well see something very similar if both seats in Georgia turn blue,
mm-hmm,
and there's a 50-50 Senate. And because Kamala Harris is, of course, would be the vice president and a Democrat, and so the Democrats would control the Senate. And I think, you know, that is so significant. That's such a significant civics lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people don't know it. And, you know, it's really hard to explain to people who really haven't been as involved. But because people are home now, they're starting to realize, like, oh, what does happen? Well, what does this mean to me? So that's a good sign. And hopefully people will keep that energy up and the appetite to learn more about how our government works as well.
And I
hope that.
And, you know, we could get down into, you know, the political weeds of of the approval of the what will be President Biden's cabinet. You know, there will be confirmation right. hearings and the like, and there's been some dust up about some of them, and some of them may pass through easier than others. But you know, in the coming years, if, for example, the under this hypothetical, if mm-hmm. Democrats control the Senate, you know, here we go again, all kinds of issues, including, you know, Supreme Court nominees.
Correct.
And other federal judges as well.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize a lot of those federal judge seats were kept open this last term. So it'll be interesting to see how that works with a different party in office and how quickly they will get filled. Because normally you wouldn't have as many to fill when you got into office, but see how that works.
So, you know, in these last couple of minutes, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, from your perspective, you know, what went right and what went wrong with November 3rd?
I think that we did not set good expectations. I think that we should, and when I say we, I mean as a whole, as a country, I really do feel strongly that we need to stop expecting to have an answer on election night because it's just not fair, which is why, you know, people in California sometimes will say, well, I'm not going to vote, because by the time they are getting ready to go vote, we've already called who the winner is. So I think that that's something that we can definitely work on in the future. I also think that we need to look at our Electoral College as well. That is something that I just think that we should look at. And why do we have it? Is it still needed? I do agree with the caller. Is that something that is still needed? It's probably not my call, but I definitely think it's something that we should look into. And even when you look at these runoffs, like in Georgia, there's 50%. You know, that was actually created, and it was popular across Confederate states because African Americans were not 50% of the country. So the idea, it was another form of suppression. So really, like, does this really make sense? You know, not only just because of the cost, but depending on how many votes do they get, do we really need to force a runoff? So just a few things I think we should look into as we.
And you brought up another issue that is always interesting to me. We've discussed this on this program for many, many years. One person's voter suppression is another person's voter security.
Exactly.
How do we bridge the divide? And I'll tell you again, I think I have a really unique perspective and perhaps, you know, attitude where, you know, for me, first of all, I don't have a criminal record. And so that issue isn't called into question, you know, for me. I am, you know, unlike, you know, many communities in rural America. You know, I don't live in a rural community, and so I have access to I can read, I can write, I have access to get to the polls, I can drive. That's not an issue for me. And no matter where I lived, and my attitude has been, I don't care where I live, no one is going to prevent me from voting. What do you need? You need a driver's license, you need a gas bill, you need a shoe size, you need a dirty sock, whatever. You're not going to keep it from me. But there are so many people who don't have the access and the privilege that I enjoy personally. So how do we address
that? Well, they didn't know. I don't know if you realize this, but a lot of people who've been to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that their right was taken.
Right.
And they don't realize that they can actually go vote. And so that's a whole nother set of education that we need to do.
Yes.
Around that as well, because why weren't they told that? They were told when they could go get their driver's license.
Yeah.
So why weren't they told when they could go vote again? Just once again, sharing information and who is that affecting again? A lot of black men. So.
Well, Aisha McClendon, I want to thank you so much for sharing your insight and your expertise. And thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Of course, well, thank you.
Absolutely. I'm going to get those some more of those Georgia folks back on the line.
You have fun with that. You tell me how that goes.
I most certainly will. And also, what's her name? Catherine. We have to say hello to Catherine, too, with her her British accent. Glad you're here. Hope you vote. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Thursday, December 3rd, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here's the founder of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
Ken doesn't know how old he is. He guesses at around 7. His whole life has been centered on finding food. You see, he lives at the dump and he's never been anywhere else. You can find Ken walking in a decaying landfill of rotting garbage, plastic bags, and shards of broken glass. To many, Ken and children like him are invisible. But they're not, are they?
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Are you sleepless too? Wide awake in the starless blue, staring up at the ceiling. Do you feel what I'm feeling? Little fights at the weekend do. You love me better when I'm not with you. We were built like concrete. I used to know your heartbeat. The light has disappeared. The dust has settled here. But still I want your need. So I've been waiting for that slow fade. Kinda hoping that you won't stay. There's no color in our sailing. And it's too hard to say. I've been praying that we'll lose our love in slow. Me and you, from the start of the sun and moon, held each other through it. We were young and foolish. Now we're dancing like we're done. We found the end.